Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you glad to be here this morning?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad you're here. So I hope you are too. If you are a guest with us, we want to say welcome. And we are so excited about the fact that you are with us. When you came in as a guest, you should have received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, or just leave it at the information table. That'll be very helpful to us. And hopefully when you came in, you also received the bulletin, just like all the rest of us receive a bulletin when we come in. So let's take our bulletins and let's open them up and let's go over some important information. This morning, right after the morning service, there is no Sunday school. So we're just doing the morning worship service. Robert is gone, so one of our adult Sunday school teachers is not here, and so we just decided we would give him a break since he's out of town for the time being, and we gave Jared a break, who teaches our children, for that as well. Tuesday night is men's Bible study here at the church, and this will be the last Bible study before we're getting ready to take our break. We're still studying the book of James, so you can still come, but then just know that we're going to take a little break for the summer months, and then we'll be back at it next fall. Wednesday is Joy Bible Study here at the church at 1:30. We're studying Bible doctrine, and we're going to be ready to study Christology, which is the study of Christ or the study of Jesus. And so I want to invite you to come. If you've wanted to know some things about Jesus, that would be a great opportunity for you to be able to do that. Thursday night is our Awana Awards night. It's hard to believe that the end of our Awana year is here already. But this is a great opportunity. Even if you don't have kids in Awana, even if you're not involved in Awana as part of our Awana leadership, it's a great opportunity for you to be able to come and encourage and support and see the hard work and the rewards that our kids are going to get for a result of all that they accomplished during this Awana year. So I want to encourage you to be able to come, whether or not you're connected with Awana in any way or not. You'll see that there's information in there about the Richie's trip to Uganda coming up in June. And so if you have any questions, see them. You can see me. We'll try to answer those questions for you. Probably if you come and see me, I'm just going to say go see them. And we'll just do it that way. Also, next Sunday, we're going to be observing communion. So that also means that it's time for our benevolent offering. And our benevolent offering, for those of you that are fairly new to Lake Hazel Bible Church, goes to help those within our church family who may have some financial needs. So there's a lot more information in the bulletin. That's why it's important for all of us to be able to make sure that we take one home. And don't just take it home and keep it in your Bible until next week or until, 3 months from now. Take it home, keep taking a look at it, and writing down those things that you want to be involved in on your calendar. Well, I'm so grateful that you've come. I'm ready to praise. Are you?
Amen.
I'm ready to worship. Are you? I'm ready to just tell God how much I love him because of how much he's done for me and how much he means to me. I hope you are too. Let's go worship team.
Would you all stand with me as we begin this morning?
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together.
Thank you, Lord.
And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you, there's nothing better than you, Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Sing it to Jesus.
Oh, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness. My failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend.
Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. And there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
You turn mourning.
You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Lord, we come before you this morning, recognizing you for who you are, the God of all creation, the God who moves mountains and splits seas. Lord, we trust you today because you're the only one who can. We believe in you today, Lord. We love you today, Lord. We're here to live for you today, Lord.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Remember those walls that we call sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we call death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came, and he died, and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. Yeah, this is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Oh yeah. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise. Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave. Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise. Nobody but Him. This is our God, this is who He is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Yeah.
Give the Lord a round of applause. Come on. This is our God, and He's worthy of praise.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I'll never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. There is another in the fire. Oh. All my dead left for dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. Should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? Either way, I won't bow to the things of this world. Oh, and I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There is another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding what power set me free? There is a grave that holds nobody, and now that power lives in me. There is another in the fire. Whoa. Darkness bows you in. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between wears thin. I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. There is no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning, I know I'll never be alone. Do you know that this morning? Come on. Oh, I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy come every battle, because I know that's where you'll be. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me.
There'll be another in the waters, holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be.
Standing right next to me.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing blood.
Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more.
Lord, help us to trust you more day by day as we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated as we continue this morning. We're going to take this morning's offering. It's good to know that he is with us through every battle. I know I will never be alone.
Greatest love that anyone could ever know, that overcame the cross and grave to find my soul. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you. With all I am, I'll live to see your kingdom come. And in my heart, I pray you'd let your will be done. Till I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you, I'll trust in you. I will live to love you, I will live to bring you praise, I will child in all of you. You are the voice that called the universe to be. You are the whisper in my heart that speaks to me. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you, I'll trust in you. I will live to love you, I will live to bring you praise, I will live a child in all of you. Of you, I will live to love you, I will live to bring you praise, I will live a child in all of you. Of you, 'cause you alone, God of all, you alone are worthy, Lord, and with all I am, my soul will bless your name. I'll bless your name. I'll bless your name. You alone are God of all. You alone are worthy, Lord. And with all I am, my soul will bless your name. I'll bless your name.
Thank you, worship team. I love that line. And when amazing grace takes me home and I see you face to face, I can't wait. How about you? Can you wait? Well, I know we have some children sitting here who can't wait to go to children's church. So come on down. We'll get you sent off to children's church. And look how excited they are. Father, we live to love you. Father, we love to worship you. We love to sing your praises. Father, I pray that it's true of us that we love to live out your word. We love to learn from it, and we love to share it. We love to let it live out in our lives. Father, the only way that that can happen is for us to be people of the Word. So, Father, I pray that as your Word goes forth this morning, that it will go forth with power, that it will go forth in grace, and, Father, that we will pay attention to what it is that it tells us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, go and have a great time. While they're being dismissed, turn to Acts chapter 17 in your Bibles. Recently, the Barna Group did a survey, and the results were disappointing, discouraging, and disheartening. Out of 176 million Americans who identify as Christians, just 6% have a biblical worldview. Now remember, here not too long ago in our adult Sunday school class, Robert told us, talked to us about how important it is to have a biblical worldview and what a biblical worldview is and what it does for us as believers. Barna calls those who subscribe to a biblical worldview integrated disciples. I would rather call them trustworthy disciples. Now, here's some good news about the beliefs of trustworthy disciples. 99% believe the Bible is the accurate word of God. 99% believe God is the all-knowing, all-powerful, and righteous creator of the universe and still rules today. I think we sang some songs about that this morning, didn't we? 88% believe that God has a reason for everything. Now, here's the sad news about the beliefs of this most committed group of disciples. 25% say there is no absolute moral truth. 33% subscribe to karma. 52% believe people are basically good. 39% contend the Holy Spirit is not a real living being, but is merely a symbol of God's power, presence, and purity. And it's the last part of this survey that for me is the most troubling. Because the Bible is clear that the Holy Spirit is a who, not a what. He's a he, not an it or a force. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. He's the third member of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin and is our promised helper, our teacher, our sanctifier, our comforter, and our counselor. And as you've already been able to see in our study of the book of Acts, there is no way to understand the book of the Acts without recognizing the work of the Holy Spirit. Because there are over 55 references to the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Why is it that people don't get that the Holy Spirit is a part of God and has specific responsibilities given by God? And as we've learned in our study of the book of Acts, and we've been talking about and focusing on God's mission, because we have the Holy Spirit, you and I can be involved in God's mission. The mission that God has given to us, and it's recorded for us in Acts chapter 1:8 and Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Let me remind you of what it is that Jesus said. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In Matthew chapter 28, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We can't be a part of God's mission and leave the Holy Spirit behind. It doesn't work because it's not your work. It's not my work. It's not your strength. It's not your intelligence. It's the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. And just like we've been learning from the Apostle Paul, taking those opportunities that are given to us by God to do what? To speak about Jesus. Now I want you to see a statement made by some opponents of God's mission, about God's missionary team. We've been focusing on Paul's missionary team. And look at verse 6, Acts chapter 17, verse 6. This is an amazing, amazing statement. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, these men who have turned the world upside down. That's quite a statement. In fact, here in chapter 17, we're going to see this morning two really powerful statements. The first one is this, that these missionaries, this missionary team, turned the world upside down. The second powerful statement is they examined the scriptures daily. So to hold on to those as we go through our sermon this morning. But this is quite a statement. They turned the world upside down. This small missionary team is credited with turning the entire known world upside down. Now, I'm afraid that instead of turning our world upside down for God, many American believers have allowed the world to turn them upside down. And as a result of that, that might be what explains our limited impact on our culture today as believers. Vance Havner, a preacher of old, once said, "We're not going to move this world by criticism of it, nor conformity to it, but by the combustion within it of lives ignited by the Holy Spirit of God." Now, last Sunday, from Acts chapter 16, we saw how God used different methods to get his mission accomplished. We saw how God reached a spiritual woman, how he touched a scorned teenager, and how he brought a regular guy to believe in Jesus as Savior. And today, we are in the first part of Acts chapter 17, and we're going to be challenged with this truth. To turn the world upside down, the Word of God must first turn us inside out. Let me say that again, and then I'm going to let you just take a moment to let it settle into your hearts and into your minds. To turn the world upside down, the Word of God must first turn us inside out. Let that settle for a moment. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the things of the world, isn't it? It's so easy for us to gravitate, to be pulled to the things of the world, isn't it? Because there's an enemy out there. His name is Satan. And he doesn't want us to be pulled toward the things of God. He wants us to be pulled away from them. He wants us to be pulled in the direction of the world. To turn the world upside down, the Word of God must first turn us inside out. And there are two important actions that I believe are necessary for us to turn the world, upside down. And we see that here in Acts chapter 17. Two of those actions are speak the Word of God and then search the Word of God. So let's begin with Acts chapter 17 and verse 1. Listen as I read. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews." So they were traveling on the Via Ignatia, which was a Roman highway, and they had to pass through two towns in order to get to Thessalonica. And here in Thessalonica, we find the first action, speak the Word of God. Look at verses 2 and 3. "And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ.'" You see, the plan of God's mission was for Paul to go to key cities, locate a synagogue, and proclaim the message about Jesus. And Paul's approach here in Thessalonica involved four key elements. First, Paul reasoned. He reasoned from the Scriptures. Notice it doesn't tell us he reasoned from politics of the day. He reasoned from the weather. He reasoned from the media. He reasoned from sports. Nope. He reasoned from what? The Scriptures. And this reasoning involved the use of questions to engage the listeners. And then it tells us Paul explained. And this word to explain in the Greek means to open what was closed, to unroll. Man, I really like that definition. Paul would take the time to make sure his listeners understood what he was saying. And then it says Paul proved. Paul presented compelling evidence how Jesus fulfilled hundreds of prophecies found where? In the Old Testament. He used the Word of God. as it was being understood through the Holy Spirit working in him. And then it says Paul declared plainly that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And then verse 4 tells us what took place after Paul's message. Look at verse 4. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. Be persuaded means they were convinced. Paul's reasoning, Paul's explanation, Paul's proving, Paul's proclaiming brought them to the place of what? Being persuaded. And this word persuaded means they were convinced. And what happened? Some Jews, along with many Greeks and many leading women, believed in Jesus as Savior. And we're reminded again how the message about Jesus is for Jew and Gentile, for men and women. But, there's always a but, isn't there? But there were some who rejected the message about Jesus. Look at verse 5. I'm going to read down through verse 9. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And Jason has received them. And they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Interesting. Isn't it? Because so many people became believers in Jesus as Savior. Some Jews were jealous and decided to recruit some troublemakers to start a riot. They riled everyone up and went as a mob to the house of Jason, who was a relative of Paul. And when they couldn't find Paul, they dragged Jason before the authorities and made this statement. "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." This missionary team already has quite a reputation. Remember, they had only been in Philippi, in Macedonia, which was located 100 miles away, and already had the reputation of what? Turning the world upside down. How did this happen? Because Paul and his team explained God's word clearly and compellingly. This is an important lesson for us. You've heard me say it, and I'm going to say it again. People today, people in our world today, people in our neighborhoods today, people in our community today want to hear the truth, because there's so much untruth all around us, and they're begging, they're crying out for the truth. And if you'll just take a moment, like we talked about last week, and sit down and talk with them, you will have opportunities to be able to share what? Jesus with them. The other day, I was at Riverview Rehab on Thursday morning. I went into the room of a lady, and I'm not going to share her name with you. And I asked her how she was doing, and I was really asking how she was doing physically and how she was doing sleeping and eating and going about her therapy. And she said to me, "Chaplain," she said, "I'm a mess. My life is a mess. I'm a wreck. My life is a wreck." And so I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Well, if it's ever Thursday morning and you need somebody to talk with or to pray with, I'm the guy." And she said, "Have a seat." So I sat down. So she began to tell me her story. And about halfway through the story, I said, "I think I can see the problem." And she said, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "What's the problem?" And I said, "The problem is you've been trying to find God in all of these things, and none of them have brought you to him. You've been trying to find peace and satisfaction in your life, and none of these things have brought peace and satisfaction into your life. You've been trying to find God through religion." Because she told me all of her religious history. And I said, "Religion isn't what God is interested in." And she laid back on her bed, and she said, "What?" And I said, "God's not interested in religion." I said, "God's more interested in a relationship. The relationship he wants you to have with him." And you know what? I agree with God. I'm not about religion. I'm about relationship. I want you to have a relationship with God. I want you to have a relationship with his son Jesus as Savior. I want you to have a relationship with his word, the Bible. That's what God is interested in. And she went, nobody's ever told me that before. And I began to tell her about Jesus. And I was able to pull my phone out of my pocket and go to my Bible in my phone and be able to talk with her from God's word, to be able to, I got to explain the scriptures. I got to reason with the scriptures. I got to proclaim Jesus through the scriptures. Isn't that what Paul did? And you know what? Towards the end of our conversation, she finally came, she said, Pastor, I went from being chaplain, I went from being, who are you, to chaplain, to now pastor. What a great progression. And she said, I believe in Jesus as my Savior. Whoa, what a great day. Whoa, I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay there and say, okay, let me help you learn more, okay? But I said, I'll be back. I'll be back every Thursday morning, and we'll talk more, and we'll be able to help you. And I said, do you have a Bible? And she said, no. Can you bring me one? And I said, I will. I will. And I even told her where to start reading, and because most of the verses that we looked at came from the book of John. It was cool. You know what? That same experience can happen to you, can happen to me. All we have to do is what? Make ourselves available of the opportunities that God gives to us to be able to what? Tell people about Jesus because they want to know. Because they're looking in all of the wrong places. They're looking in all of the wrong things. And it's not giving them what it is they know they're trying to find. It's just amazing. It was wonderful. It was so cool to be able to do that. Now, the uproar got the attention of the authorities, so they made Jason post bail to make sure that Paul would not come back. Instead of getting it from Paul, they got it from his relative, Jason. To turn the world upside down, the word of God first must turn us inside out. Now here's the second action. Search the word of God. Look at verse 10. The brothers in Berea, the brothers in Thessalonica immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Wow. Okay. Now, this was not the first time Paul fled from a city under the cover of darkness. Remember Acts chapter 9? And unlike Thessalonica, Berea was off the beaten path where people with wealth lived. It was like a retirement village for rich military, political, and educational leaders. And again, the missionary team immediately headed where? To the synagogue. To do what? Reason and proclaim God's message. And look at what it says in verse 11. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness. Get this. Examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Now, this word noble means refined and open-minded. And there were two character traits which made the Bereans stand out as noble. First, they eagerly what? Received God's word. They eagerly what? Received the discussion on politics? No, God's word. The word eagerness has the idea of being enthusiastic, and the word received refers to accepting an offering. In other words, the Bereans listened with unhindered attention and absorbed God's truth. This lady that I was visiting with on Thursday morning, she was absorbing, she was listening with unhindered attention to everything I was telling her from God's word. Not my opinion, God's word. And this eager acceptance is illustrated in the Old Testament. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. That word law there is another way to be able to describe God's word. Isaiah 34, 16, seek and read from the book of the Lord, the word of God. Not only that, they examined the scriptures daily. The Bereans were eager to receive God's word, but they also examined the evidence. And the word examine here is interesting. It means to discern, to test, to scrutinize, and get this, sift. I like that. When was the last time you spent time sifting through God's word? Sifting what it is that God has brought you to in his word and sifting it. You know, I get the privilege of doing that on a weekly basis as I prepare sermons to be able to deliver to you. I have to sift the word of God, and I enjoy every moment of it. The Bereans committed themselves to get to the core of what was being said. They determined that it was true. And did you notice? This wasn't just a once in a week activity. This wasn't just a once when the moment happens or once when it's convenient opportunity. No, that says they did what? They examined the scriptures how often? Daily. What does daily mean? Every day. Every day that ends in Y. I'll make it simple for you. Okay? They what? Examine the scriptures. You think that's important for us to be able to do? I know it's important for us to be able to do. This was a daily action for them, not just something they did occasionally. They were applying Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 into their lives. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man, or blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates. When? Day and night. And because the Bereans believed in the authority of God's word, they immersed themselves in God's inspired word, studying it every day. They were careful and cautious about what they believed. God's word alone was their sole arbiter of what was true and what was false. And they knew that God's word is sufficient. Not was, is, because it's still sufficient for us today. To say God's word is sufficient means the Bible is all we need to equip us for faith and service. God's word is sufficient because the Bible is inspired, inerrant, and authoritative. The sufficiency of God's word means that the Bible itself is sufficient to interpret the Bible. In order to have a biblical worldview, you have to come to the place of saying in your mind and in your heart and living it out in your lives that the Bible is the only source of authority that I need. The world says there's lots of sources of authority, but none of them are true. None of them come from God. They all come from man. We stand on the authority of God's word as our only source of authority for our lives. Now keep in mind that Paul wrote follow-up letters to many of the churches he started for correction and encouragement. Last week we learned what happened in Philippi, remember? And later Paul wrote a letter to the church in Philippi. In our Bible it's called the book of Philippians. In the first part of Acts 17, we were introduced to what happened in Thessalonica. And later, Paul wrote two letters to them. They're called 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But it's interesting that you won't find 1st or 2nd Bereans in your Bible. Perhaps that's because the Bereans were so focused on the sufficiency of God's word, there was no need for Paul to correct them or to encourage them. Think about that. Now, here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, we have a statement of faith. I don't know if you've read it. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Some of you that might have been around for a long time, you might have read it. You might be familiar with it. Some of you that are fairly new, maybe not. But in the LHBC statement of faith, let me tell you what the first point of the statement of faith is about. You want to guess? The Bible. And this is what it states. We believe that the Bible, consisting of the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments, is God's sole, complete, and infallible word. That it was written by men who were divinely and uniquely inspired, that it is our, pay attention to this, supreme authority in all matters of faith and practice. We affirm the verbal, which means word for word, plenary, which means equally inspired in all of its parts, inspiration of Scripture in their original writings. And we use 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 to be able to give the strength to that statement. That's where we, as Lake Hazel Bible Church, first and foremost stand on the sole authority of God's Word. And as long as I'm the pastor here, that's not changing. Here in the book of Acts, the preaching of God's word, truth, the preaching of God's truth caused some to be changed, while it caused others to what? Stir up trouble. Look at verses 12 and 13. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. The preaching and teaching of God's truth often leads to opposition. We need to understand that as we enter in to being a part of God's mission. To keep another uproar from happening, some of the believers in Berea acted, and they immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea. But Silas and Timothy stayed there. And those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. But they had this wonderful experience in Berea. In Berea. Did they have a bad experience in Thessalonica? Yeah, not so much. Did they have a bad experience in Philippi? Yes. But did they have a really good experience in Berea? Yeah, because they got to be with people who what? Followed, studied, examined the Scriptures daily, received the Scriptures with gladness. Now, maybe you're wondering, what would it take for you to be like the believers in Berea? Let me give you some ideas. First, listen to sermons with an open Bible. Listen to sermons with an open Bible. If you're listening to a sermon and the pastor never uses the Bible, just turn it off. Don't listen anymore. Here not too long ago, we had some folks visiting Lake Hazel Bible Church. And after the service, I was visiting with them a little bit, and they said, you know, we're in the process of trying to find a church. We've been to a lot of churches here in the Treasure Valley. And you know what? You're the first pastor that we've seen take a Bible to the pulpit with him. I said, are you kidding me? And they said, nope, you're the first. It's like, what? So if you just happen to think that you want to go check out other churches here in the Treasure Valley and the pastor doesn't take a Bible to the pulpit with him, come back here. Because every Sunday, this pastor's bringing his Bible to the pulpit. But listen to sermons with an open Bible. It's important to check out what I say with God's Word, with what God's Word says. Now, I'm not bragging, but I work hard at being true to God's word. But I'm not infallible. While I would never knowingly mislead you, that doesn't mean I'm not capable of doing so. And the best part of every sermon should come from the truth that you see in God's word, not from some funny illustration or my own insights. We need to be people who put 1 Thessalonians 5:21 into practice. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Let me give you another idea. Be in God's word every day. Every day. Every day that ends in Y. Because the only way to grow towards spiritual maturity is to get God's word in your mind and your heart. And the only way for that to happen is for you to what? Be in God's word every day. And that's important so you can live it out in your life. Number three, meditate on God's word. Sift it. Let it sift through you. Take and get some resources to help you be able to study God's word and then meditate on what it is that God is, through his Holy Spirit, teaching you. Just don't skim the surface. A lot of times, that's what we do. We get our Bibles out and we say, well, I haven't read for a while, so maybe I'll just turn to somewhere and I'll just start reading it. You know, look at all of those names of places. Look at all of those names of people. Look at all of this stuff. Yeah, no, I'm not interested. Every part of God's word is truth. Every part of God's word is inspired. You mean the names? Yep. Wow. The names of people? Yes, they are. Every part of God's word is inspired. There isn't one part that isn't. And that's why we here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, we stand on the word of God. We preach and we teach the word of God. That's our focus. And it should be yours as well. Because if you're just skimming through it, you're going to get yourselves in trouble. If you're not letting it sift into you, if you're not really finding out what does it mean, what is it that God's Holy Spirit has for me as I read this part of God's word? You're gonna miss out on a whole lot. You're going to find yourselves in a lot of trouble. You're going to be like the fellow who heard a message on reading the word of God, and so he goes home and he says, I'm going to get my Bible out and I'm going to open it up, and wherever it lands, I'm going to read that. So he opens up his Bible, and it lands on this part of God's word where it says, and Judas went out and hung himself. And he said, oh, I don't think that's for me. So then he said, I'm going to try this again. So he closed his Bible and he opened it up and he read, go and do thou likewise. Now we think that's funny, but that's the way a lot of believers read their Bibles. That's the way a lot of believers treat the authoritative truth of God's word in their lives. Let me give you another way. Approach the Bible with expectation. Approach the Bible with expectation. Why do we go to our mailbox every day? Why do we check our email often? Why do we jump on social media? Because we believe there's something we do not want to miss. Here's an idea. Instead of checking Facebook several times a day, spend time with your face in God's book, and then make the Bible your source of authority. I want to leave you with this. To turn the world upside down, God's word must first turn us inside out. Lake Hazel Bible Church, as I've already shared with you, is committed to this. Are you? Father, I pray that you help us to be a people who are committed to your word. Father, I pray that you will help us to learn from the example of the Bereans. May it be said of us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church that we are committed to the word of God. We receive the word of God with eagerness, and we examine the word of God every day, so that it makes a difference in our knowledge of you, so that it makes a difference in the way that we live, so that it makes a difference in our involvement in the mission that you have given to every single one of us to proclaim with every opportunity you give to us all about Jesus. Father, help us to be like the Bereans, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand for this last song, please?
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place.
This is our hope.
When we all